on this exalted altar this morning and do this great assignment. God bless you, Daddy, in the name of Jesus. Please celebrate Daddy for me with a clap offering. God bless you. Hallelujah. At the end of this teaching, we'll be having question and answer section. And so if you have a question as the teaching is going on, please pen down your question. Because of time, we will not be given opportunity to go around with mic. So pen down your question. If you cannot write, look for somebody that can write close to you, help you pen down your question. Then you can give the ushers. And as they are giving you any question, ushers, please submit immediately to Pastor Yinka so that at the end of the teaching, he will ask the question or read them out and will be providing answers to them by the grace of God. God bless you in Jesus' name. Today we'll be taking part 4 of operating in endless possibility. Our scripture remains Mark 9 and verse 23. Operating in endless possibility, part 4, Mark 9 and verse 23. The Bible said to him that believed, Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believe. So we have been told that belief, faith, in other words, is a key ingredient you need to enjoy endless possibility. Mark 9, 23. I said. So endless possibility, as we have been told, from all the divination, we discover that endless possibility is also divine possibility. All mean one and the same. And divine possibility belongs to the realm of God. Our daddy told us that Matthew 19 and verse 26, the Bible says, with God, all things are possible, because nothing shall be impossible with God. So divine possibility, endless possibility, belong to the realm of God. So believers are also located in that realm of all possibility. Why? Because we are believers in Christ. We are in him. So we are in the same realm with him. The Bible proved this to us through Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 and Ephesians 2 and verse 6, that we who are in Christ, we have been raised to sit with him. So we are in the same realm with him. And what is this realm? The realm of endless possibility. But there is a condition that you are located in a place or you have been given a position does not mean that you will function or operate in that office if all things are not equal. We as believers, your salvation in Christ Jesus locates you to that realm of possibility. But you can't operate in that realm. You can't enjoy the full potential of being in Christ in that realm of endless possibility if something is not in place. And that is what Mark 9:23 had told us. To him that believe, all things will be what? Possible. So endless possibility will only be possible or will only be enjoyed, operated by those who believe. So to believe is not just a mental assent, we have been told, but a process of personal conviction until you are fully persuaded of who God is, his word and character, and the totality of God, and living in alignment with the same. The Bible says in Romans 4 verse 20 that our father Abraham was fully persuaded. He convinced himself of what God has said. He convinced himself of the promises of God to the extent that he became fully persuaded beyond reasonable doubts that God is able to do what he has said. And it is that belief that take you, locate you, empower you to the realm where you function like God, to whom all things become possible. Shout hallelujah. So without the above, without your personal conviction to the extent of persuasion and aligning yourself with what you believe, we will have plenty or we will have many unbelieving believers. And it is when we have unbelieving believers that we have people who though have been located in the realm of possibility, but they cannot operate in endless possibilities. So today, we'll be looking at a very important topic that enables and empowers believers to operate in endless possibility. We saw faith very importantly through the month, but we'll be looking at another very important topic, and that is why we have this shepherd service this morning. And that topic we'll be looking at, that subject we'll be looking at, is the relationship of a believer with his church and his pastor. That is the very important topic, because this is what will help you. This is what also, apart from your faith in God, his word, and aligning yourself with the same, this is another subject that will empower you to be able to operate in the realm of endless possibility. The relationship of a believer with their church and pastor. To experience endless possibility, a believer's relationship with their church and pastor must be rooted in active partnership. What do I call it? And we'll be looking at the two sides of the partnership this morning very quickly. And that is why you must give your rap attention so that you'll be able to ask questions that will benefit all of us. So, experiencing endless possibility, a believer relationship must, with his church and his pastor, must be rooted in active partnership, honor, and spiritual alignment. A believer relationship must be rooted in active partnership, honor, and spiritual alignment in order for that believer to enjoy endless possibility. Please note that spiritual blessings, endless possibility, often flow through the channel of stewardship and submission. Spiritual blessing, that's why I always say that there is no promise of God, there is no blessing of God that you desire, no miracle you desire in this kingdom that leaves you without a responsibility. There is a condition to fulfill. There is what to do in order for you to enjoy God's blessing, even though he has promised. But there is what to do to enjoy the promise. There is what to do to enjoy the miracle that you desire from God. So you must take note that all spiritual blessings often flow through channel of stewardship and submission. Psalm 23 verse 1, where we used for our prayer this morning, say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall." So before you get to the point of not wanting, not lacking anything that is good for your life, the Lord must be your shepherd. And you will read from verse 1 to 6 of that scripture, if you have made the Lord your shepherd, if you have positioned yourself for God to be your shepherd, then all those blessings, even to verse 6, he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life." Before you get to that point, all those spiritual blessings flow to your submission to shepherdship, stewardship, submission. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. He said, "Believe the Lord your God, you will be established. Believe also his prophet." He says, "So shall you prosper." So there is a part. Whatever it is, prosperity, establishment in any area of life, all these blessings and promises of God flow through that channel of stewardship and submission. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now we look at those two sides of the partnership. Number one, I want to look at the relationship between, or the responsibility now. The responsibility of your church and your pastor towards the believer. Number one. One side of the partnership, the responsibility of your church and of your pastor to the believer, or towards the believer. If you, somebody is your pastor, whoever you call, or whatever you call church, and you are not fulfilling this responsibility towards you, then you should reconsider. Number one, keeping watch over yourself, that's the pastor now, keeping watch over self and the members. The pastors have the responsibility to keep watch over themselves and over the members. You will see that Psalm 23 talks about the same thing. Acts 20 and verse 28 to 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to 31. A pastor must be careful over themselves and over the flocks. They must take care of the flock. They must take care of their lives also. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17. Acts 20, verse 28 to 31. If you can't get any of those scriptures, please pen them down, go home, and study. It is very important. The Bible says, the believers of old, when they come together, they pen down whatever they have been taught. When they get home, they go and consider them, look at them, whether those things that were taught them were true or not. Praise the Lord. So, how does the pastor or the church keep watch over themselves and the member? How? A, by looking after the well-being of their flock. Ensure their spiritual growth. Ensuring the spiritual growth of the pastor, of the members. That's the responsibility of the pastor. And that's how they keep watch over you as a flock. Another way is to guide the believers from harmful spiritual influences and false teaching. So it is not selfishness, as some of us consider it, when a pastor say, don't go to all those prayer houses. Don't go and be wasting your time on the mountain doing fasting and prayer. They say the pastor is jealous, or the pastor is afraid so that they will not take his member. No, it's part of the pastor's responsibility to watch under what influence are my members putting themselves. It is part of them guiding you as a believer from harmful spiritual influences. Because whatever you take in all those areas, somebody was talking the other day, he said, what is bad in it for a pastor, for a member, a believer, to after hearing the word of God this morning, maybe around in the afternoon, then there's another non-denominational gathering. It can be youth, it can be everywhere. You go there. It's the word of God they speak also. You go there and hear. What is wrong in, you know, owning your TV and listening to other ministers? And my answer was, well, if you think there's nothing wrong in it, can you answer me this question? What is wrong in you at the same time cooking jollof rice? Fetch a little of jollof rice. Fetch a little of fried rice. Fetch a little of locally made rice with palm oil. Fetch small eba inside with okra. Fetch small semo inside. Inside the same 1 meal. Are you hearing me? Just different food. Apple with emni. Fetch them. Abacha inside. Momo inside. And sit down with it. That 1 meal, I devour it. What happened to you? I pray it's only purge. Hallelujah. I don't know what they call that medically, but some Christian believers that are walking, that dress well like me, that look normal, some of them, their system is disorganized spiritually. Why? Because of the different meal. Your pastor here say, pay tithe is important. Another pastor say, don't mind them, they are looking for money. Another one say, no, well, even if you don't pay once in a while, it's not too bad. Another one say, even your paying of your tithe, you can share it among all the ministers that have been of help in your life. Now, just one topic, but you have had how many things? About 5 things. You are in trouble as a believer. So it is the responsibility of a pastor to guide his member against all these harmful spiritual influences. It is your pastor's responsibility. Praise the Lord. Number two, another responsibility of the pastor or your church towards you as a believer. Teach and equip members. That's another responsibility. Your pastor is to teach you the word of God, to also equip you for the work of God's service, for the work of the ministry. That's the work of a pastor. How do they do that? By feeding you a... That's 2A now. By feeding you with truth. John 17, verse 17. If it is not the word of God, it's not the truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is the truth. Feeding you with the truth. Colossians 1, 23. Titus 1, verse 9. Titus 1, verse 9. Titus 1, verse 9. So, your pastor is to teach you and equip you. How? By feeding you with the truth. 2B, by preparing and training members to do the work of God. In order to build up the body of Christ, by teaching and equipping members to do the work of God, in order to build up the body of Christ. That's the B of number 2. Praise the Lord. And the scripture for B is Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 12. The scripture for A, that is feed with the truth, I said John 17, 17, Colossians 1, 23, and Titus 1, verse 9. Number 3, responsibility of a pastor to their member, or the church to their member. Their responsibility, number 3, is to lead by example. Responsibility number 3 of a pastor to a member is to lead by example. How do they do that? 3A, be a role model. Your pastor is supposed to be a role model to the members. 1 Peter 5, verse 3. 1 Peter 5, verse 3. How does the pastor lead by example? 3B, serve with humility. That's why here in this assembly, you don't see us as your leaders, as a pastor, as a shepherd. Just tell you what to do alone. You've seen us doing what we are doing. We have never announced fasting in church. He said, church member, let's fast, though, and the pastor is at home sitting, eating. It has never happened in this place. So we lead by example. When we say, come and pray, you accept daddy is out of town or I'm out of town, you won't come to prayer for us and you will not see us. We won't tell you to go and be praying. We lead by example. That is the work of a pastor. When we say, let us praise God from, you know, with understanding, let us praise God with all our might and our, you will not see us as your pastor when praise is going on and we put his hand inside pocket and we're just supervising. We don't do that. A pastor is to lead by what? By example. Shout hallelujah. Now, let's look at the other side of the coin before we go into our questions. That's the believer's responsibility. Now, I've told you your pastor's responsibility, your church responsibility. Now, it is your responsibility as a pastor now. That's the second aspect of the coin. I told you earlier, the relationship is partnership. So, the believer's responsibility towards their church and their pastor. Number one, don't ask me why your own is more. Don't ask me, because your own is more. Your own is times 3. So, how many are they? Very sharp people. 9. So don't ask me. Don't bother you. Pastor, if there is a question like that, don't ask that question. Don't ask me why your own responsibility is more. Number one, hallelujah. Believers' responsibility to their pastor, number one, regular attendance to their pastor and to the church. I combine the two. Regular what? Attendance. That is a responsibility. It's not a choice. Please listen to me. You're attending church regularly, being in every service. It's not what? Church, answer me. Those people that don't come to service, they are the ones that are afraid to answer now. It's not a choice, it's a responsibility. The Bible says, you should not forsake. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. No believer should forsake the assembly of one another as it is in the manner of some. Are you part of the some? Eh? If you are part of the some, then you have responsibility to repent today. Don't be a Sunday Christian. You will not be considered as a responsible child of God or a responsible member of Hope and Life Jesus Assembly. If you are a Sunday Christian, Sunday that are praying. Don't forsake the gathering of yourself together. You must be a regular attender. When a believer, another believer sees you in church and say, ah, sister, 2 days, you are in trouble. Let me look at the next person close to you. When did you see that person's face last? Eh? When? Answer the question. When did you see that person's face last? Somebody said last Sunday. Let me see if you say last Sunday. It was last Sunday I saw your face for that. You don't want to be sincere. Okay. No wahala. There are some places now, people now, I'm seeing their face. It's last Sunday I saw them. And they are supposed to be a member of my family. How does it sound? That God saw your face last in this church, your church, since last Sunday. On Monday, didn't see you. Didn't see you in the morning. And you're a businesswoman. You're a businessman. You are selling and buying. Didn't see you 6 a.m. to come and pray. You're a career person. Office woman, office man. We didn't see you in the evening to come and pray. On Monday, 2 times. On Wednesday, we didn't see you for communion service. On Saturday, we didn't see you for evangelism. Only Sunday. Sunday, man, in the morning for Bible study, we did. Sunday school, we didn't see you. Such faces, help me look at them. Say, I could get a Kwana Biu. Anyone, the person will understand, say, Kwana Biu, ma. Kwana Biu, sir. Some of them are hiding their face from me because I can see them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's your responsibility to be a regular attender in church. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Number 2, responsibility of a member to their church and to their pastor. Active service as good steward of God's grace. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. Active service, active service. Some of us, our names are in one department or the other, but if they ask you, when last did you serve in that department? Even you can't remember. You are not being responsible to your church or to your pastor. You must be an active service member. So that you come to church this morning, you have not rendered service, you have just come to worship. It's not service. We just used to call Sunday service a service. I don't know why we even call it Sunday service. It's Sunday worship. Hallelujah. Because all of us, but there are some people who have truly come to serve and worship. They are combined the two. Those who are doing one thing or the other. Those who have been here yesterday to sweep. All those people. But you. There is nothing you are doing. You are not responsible to your church. And you should be. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 4 and verse 10. As every man had received the gift. I have said before that there is no ungifted child of God. There is nothing. There is something you can do as a child of God. There is something. There is a department you can fit in. I tell you the truth. Every one of us, you can do something. He said, as every man. How many? Every man. Not just the gender. All of us have received the gift. Even so, minister the same one to another as good steward of the manifold grace of God. If you have received the grace of God, please don't waste that grace. Praise the Lord. Number 3, your responsibility, be committed to financial stewardship. Malachi 3 and verse 10. Malachi 3 verse 10. There is something the Holy Spirit taught me as I was meditating on this scripture. The book of Malachi 3 verse 10. He said, bring ye, now listen to me. If you read other scripture, and I try to sample some, when the Bible talks about offerings for the work of God, you will hardly use the Bible, you will hardly see the Bible use the word bring. What does the Bible use? Offer, give. Eh? Now, the responsibility that way is on the person giving. Eh? When you say offer, that means I can decide to or not. Eh? When he say give, eh? I can decide to, it is me that is what? Giving. I can decide to give or not. Or I can decide what I will give or not. Do you understand that? But the Bible says here, that's why it is a responsibility, it's a command. He said bring. Now, who is commanding this? Who is asking for? He said bring. He didn't say give. So it's not you. It's him saying what? Bring. Bring. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. See, people describe the scripture or interpret the scripture on high level of ignorance of the word of God. High level of lack of revelation of the word of God. See, if you have been convinced that tithe is nothing, either you like you pay or not, I want you to reconsider this morning and have a change of mind. I'm talking to you as a pastor. If you like, say, I want money. That's why I am asking for tithe as your pastor. It is my right. Biblically, it's what? My right as your pastor. I am Lord Levite. To what? To ask for the money. To demand on behalf of God to bring it to the storehouse. Praise the Lord. Yes, they are silent now. That's how the truth is. It's always preparing and pinching. You can say, God, give me, but you can't bring when you say bring. He said, bring all the tithe. Do you know it is lack of understanding, lack of revelation, ignorance that make a believer say, this is your church. Hope Alive Christian Assembly. When you can't sleep in the night, it's Mamiaka, oh, my child temperature is high. And you know, Mamiaka's phone is 24 hours. Dadiaka's phone is 24 hours. Some have given testimony here. You know, that testimony looks very simple. He said, there is, praise the Lord. There is no time you call our daddy and our mommy in the Lord that they will not pick, even in the midnight. But you are sleeping. My phone is 24 hours what? On. The Bible now says, bring all your tithes to where? To the storehouse. Those pastors that you connect to online, your online churches, can you call the pastor 12 midnight that your child temperature is high? So why do you share your tithes at the end of the month? Your tithe is 50,000, assuming. You now bring 20,000 here to church and you bring 10,000 to that your online pastor. They have, some of them even post account number. Eh? You send 10,000 there. Your title. You send another 10,000 to one pastor that used to pray for you once in a while. Or used to see vision for you. Because those ones don't really pray for you. They see for you. Those, some of those ones that used to give you prophecy once in a while. You send another 10,000 to them. You share your tithe. You have not paid tithe. Today, I am here to tell you the truth. And nothing but the truth. And nothing will happen. Did you hear me? Nothing will happen. If you have been paying your tithe that way, you are not paying tithe. From that 10th percent, the Bible describes it as the 10th. That 10th percent is to your storehouse, your church. Now, if that pastor that is not your pastor nor your church has blessed you so much, from the remaining 90% that you have, you do what? You give. You do what? Be committed to financial stewardship. Bring ye all the tithe into my storehouse. Which one is your storehouse? That there may be meat in my house. Then all the other blessings follow it. I will rebuke devourer. I will do this one. I will do that one. What is devourer? Plague. Pest of any kind, can be sickness, anything. Eating your harvest. What you are supposed to use your money, the remaining 90% to do good. Plague come, calamity come, something come, and just take it away with pain. Another responsibility, number 4. Preserve the unity of the body of the church. That's your responsibility. Ephesians 4 verse 3. Psalm 133. Verse 1 to 3. Preserve the unity of what? Of your church. No gossip. no section. We are all member of Christ's body. The same father, the same mother, if you want to say that, gave birth to all of us who are here today. As member of Hope Alive Christian Assembly, part of the body of Christ. What do? Preserve this unity. No gossip. If anybody has done anything, if somebody is not doing things right, if you have been coming for Sunday school, we have taught ourselves the Jesus way of resolving conflict in church, because he knows that conflict will come. We will step on one another's toes. We will offend one another. The tongue and the teeth, they are the closest partner in the body. But they quarrel sometimes, sometimes their blood come out. We offend each other. But you must do everything in your power to keep the unity of the church. Not scattering us. That's why gossip should be avoided. Spreading rumors should be avoided. When somebody tells you, you know, see, our church member that are doing the, ask them, who is that our church member? Ask the question. You say, now what from our church member? Ask which of our church member? And if the person cannot tell you the name of the person, and immediately the person tell you, hey, you see Pastor David Chung, I caught him one day, so please. Then you say, hey, you catch him. No wahala. When I see Pastor David Chung, I will do what? I will ask. And I will tell him that you are the one that told me. When you cannot say that, when that person is begging you, say, no, I don't want trouble. We live in the same angwa. Tell the person, gossiper. What should you tell the person? Gossiper. Clap on the person's head. Yoruba style. Ekpata wale won lori atewo buruku. Olofofo. Amebo. What do they call them for Igbo? Na no no. Eh? Onya. To etigbo. Praise the Lord. Preserve the unity of the body. Number 5, let me run. Number 5. Willingly obey your pastor and leader. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Not out of compulsion. You know that it's your responsibility. Either you understand it or not. Any pastor you cannot obey when they give you instruction, please don't stay under them as a pastor. Please. Remember, the Bible says the anointing flow from where? From the head. You know, the head has so many parts. Even to the toe. The last person. The anointing flow from the head to the last. Any pastor that you cannot obey, you should not even ask. Dickness, you don't be one ask me. Say, mommy, it's like I want to travel. Where do you want to go? He said, I want to travel to Abuja. And I said, I will think about it. In our mind, say, which one to think about? Now you go give me transport. Your pastor. In her mind, she won't talk. Oh. I think say me and you are the same. Hey, babe. So I know you can't be angry. In her mind, she's saying, which one is to think? Because I told her about next time. Let her think about this one. Next time. Is it not if she had next time? And that's all. And so you don't do your own thing. You travel your own. Some will even tell you don't go. You will give us 1,001 reasons why you must go. You are on your own. And that is why the blessing of the shepherd cannot flow on you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's why many of us believers are wanting so many things, lacking so many things in our lives. Because no fooler need, no. Cow of a Fulani man. We ask the Fulani, why are we passing this road? Eh? They will not ask. Are you with me? Willingly obey. Make up your mind that when it concerns you, once they tell you go, you are going. Irrespective of what is happening. When they say come, you are coming. Irrespective of what is the condition is. It's not about you. It's about the word of God. You must willingly obey your pastors and your leaders. Number 6, Spiritual honor must be given to your pastors. Spiritual honor must be given to your pastor. Respect, both in words and in action. Now, see, people who don't want to obey the word of God, they give excuses. I say, what is this? What is it? Kneeling down to greet pastor. What is it? And this is hero worship. Is that not what they call it? They want to talk now, huh? This is what? They will tell you it's hero worship. What is it that you are now have to kneel down? In our culture, we don't kneel down. Is your culture Bible? Eh? What is the sign of respect? Some of us say, daddy will give us hand, we just shake him. God bless you, sir. Some people would have done that in this church. I don't look and say, God forgive them for they don't know what they are doing. Give you hand. Are you, and God bless you, sir. And you see some that have spiritual sense. God must bless Elder Bose Diabiola. I don't know why I'm mentioning her name again. Mama will never greet you with one name. Me. It's not about age, yo. Like a child, like Omotola Abu Omolola will greet me with two nil on the ground. That mama. If you say it's hero worship, you are on your own. Spiritual honor. How do you feel when your child, you are talking to your child, you are sitting and your child is standing on your head and talking. Standing on your head. Or giving you something. Not even bending knees, small. Always remember 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. He that honor me, I will what? He that dishonor me, they shall be lightly esteemed. God will not dishonor you. So you must give your pastor spiritual honor and respect. Respect both in your words and in your action. Number 7, offer financial and material care to your pastor and to your leaders. Number 7, offer financial and material care to your pastor and to your leader. 1 Timothy 5:17-18. 1 Timothy chapter 5, 17 and 18. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 to 11 and verse 13 to 14. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 to 11 and verse 13 to 14. Galatians 6, verse 6. Offer financial and material care to your pastors. And this is what take me to what God laid in my heart. In fact, I didn't tell our daddy. Because if I tell him, he will tell me I should leave it. But I know that God wants us to do it. I'm not part of the pastor that get afraid of whatever member we do if I'm obeying God's instruction. And that's why we didn't announce it earlier. So that it will not put pressure on anybody. But God wants to see our act of love to our pastors. Listen to this instruction. By next week's Sunday, which is our Thanksgiving Sunday, you will package a gift. Every member. You will package a gift, either material or financial. You will package it and put the name of a pastor that have impacted your life in this church. If it is all of us, that means you have plenty gifts. Eh? Are you listening to the instruction? If it's all of us, then that means one gift from Dickness, nobody one will carry my name. Another one will carry daddy's name. Another one will carry Pastor Olu's name. Another one will carry. But don't write your name. Don't do what? As the giver, don't write your name. But write the name of who? The pastor you want to honor with that material gift. When you get home, read this scripture. Take time to read it. That's why I give you from now till next Sunday. Because there will be time next Sunday, during our Thanksgiving service, that a basket will be here or a bowl, whatever it is. And all those gifts, all of us, we, with gratitude, bring those gifts. And when those gifts, when the names of the pastors are there, when those gifts are distributed to the pastors, they will on their own pour on you shepherding blessing. Did you get that instruction? Praise the Lord. I'm going to emphasize more than that. Offer financial and material care to your pastors and to your leaders. Number 8, prayer support. Offer prayer support. I'm supposed to be rounding up now. Offer prayer support. Ephesians 6 verse 19. Pray always for your pastor. Pray always. The Bible says, pray for us. The Bible describes so many kind of prayer that you can pray for your pastor. You can go and find out from scripture, what prayer can I pray for my pastor? This is one of them. That utterance may be given to them. The revelation of the word may be given to them as they teach you. Are you in church? Then the last responsibility of a member to the pastor is to love your pastor. Don't lust after them. Love them. Don't lust after them. Love your pastor. Don't lust after them. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1 to 2. 1 Timothy 5 verse 1 to 2. Love your pastor. Don't lust after them. And I'm not talking to the female alone. I'm talking to the male. All of us together. Love means respect in words and in action. In your messages to them. Social media is a very, very good and bad word today. A member who have the privilege to have their pastor's number can send nonsense on phone. There are some text messages that a lady member, a woman member of the church should not send to the male pastors. It does not show love. Because you create something unspiritual, something carnal in the mind of the man, of the pastor. And pastors are not angels, they are human beings. They have flesh and blood, they have feelings. There are certain words that you don't use. Even as a male member to a female pastor. So that before you know it, you are creating something in the mind of that female pastor. Say, ah, no, be pastor, A.B. The pastor does not have flesh, does not have blood. He's still in the flesh, he's still human. So don't make mistake. You are not even permitted to lust after one another. How much lusting after anointed of God? Hey, he said, do my prophet no harm. Please, let's watch our relationship with our pastors so that instead of bringing them, instead of their relationship bringing us blessings, it will not be bringing us curses. We must love them in words, in action, in the secret, in the open. I was talking to somebody. I was talking to a father and a mother. I said, you people don't realize that your daughter is growing up. Are you hearing me? I'm even talking to daughter and to father now. You know, when you have grown up daughter, the way baby Omolola now, we jump on Pastor Yinka and hug and lie down and hold anyhow. By the time they grow up to become like an adult, like Auntie Chioma, she's a pastor's daughter. But she cannot be jumping and rubbing on her chest on the pastor. If I'm your mother, I catch you. I will beat you. Your blood will come out of your body. He said, mommy, you are going to the extreme. Is the father far? The father does not have feelings. Does not have flesh and blood. In fact, it's more dangerous. That's something that's dangerous to say here now because all of us are mixed. It's more dangerous. So you must caution. There must be a boundaries to greet your pastor. Lord Dagobah, yeah, the pastor. Alakoba. And God has blessed you so much. You understand what I'm saying? You know the kind of blessing. As a woman, God has blessed you so much. I say, Pastor Yinka, God will not allow me to catch you. Praise the Lord. All of you are laughing now. either in the secret or in the open. Please, love your pastor. Don't lust after them. Don't create any bad impression in their mind. Let them be able to focus on the word of God and prayer that will make your life good. Shout hallelujah. Do you still love me, church? If you love me, clap for me. Yes, pastor. Have they given you mic? Let's start with our question. Mic. Pastor is the only one that we ask questions today on behalf of everyone. Sharp. Yes, sir. Amen.
First question that we have here is, if someone says something bad about your pastor,
yes,
and it is same how relating to it is, and it's somehow relating to his character, how can you solve it as a member?
Praise the Lord. There's an adage in Yoruba. He says, if you sell your person, your loved one, your relative, if you sell them for 5 naira, when you have 5 million, you can't buy a king. Hallelujah. Now, if somebody says something bad about your pastor, it's not good, it's not praise, how do you solve that problem? Number one, fight the person first. You don't talk that rubbish about my pastor. Jesus said, not even to a leader, a woman caught in the act. Jesus knew that that woman committed that act. But did Jesus condemn her? What did Jesus say? At that spot, even in the midst, he said, if you have not committed sin. So if that person has a pastor also, you ask, your pastor is an angel, he doesn't offend. I must not hear you talk about my pastor. Give that person sound warning. Hallelujah. If you know that your pastor is guilty of the same, you can't. The Bible says, don't rebuke an elder. Hallelujah. You can't come and be pastor, say, pastor, you are, you know, down. Even though Moti Jafun, yeah, I fought for you, but you know, say, you are guilty. You know, you can't do that as a member. Am I talking? What do you now do? Pray for your pastor. What do you do? Pray for your pastor. If you believe that God answer prayer, he will change. If truly the man is guilty. Have I answered that question? Or is there anything attached? Yes, sir.
Is it bad as a believer to listen to other ministers that their teaching may somehow align to the teaching of your church?
It's not bad. If their teaching align with what? With your church. Praise the Lord. With your pastor's teaching. It's the same Bible. But be careful. Be careful. That's the word of caution. That's part of what you are saying. I'm sure this person that wrote this question, I don't know you. They go around. You are just looking for what to justify yourself. You say, how does it look to be eating one food? One food. For 40 years in the wilderness, how many type of food did God feed the children of Israel with? How many? Just one. And the food sustained them. Manna. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? I've answered two ways, Nabi. It's not bad, but be careful. Before you now say, okay, let me sample which one we speak like my pastor. Now, that's where you want to eat the one that you are not supposed to eat and eat poison. Yes, sir. Number three.
Is it okay not to be too familiar with your pastor?
Sir?
Is it okay not to be too familiar with your pastor?
The person have answered the question. Familiarity brings disrespect. Very okay. In fact, very, 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 very okay. Not to be too familiar. If we that were wives of our husband who are pastors, we are not too familiar with them. And we are the one that know everything about them, the good, the bad, the ugly. Then who are you? Familiarity brings disrespect. And talk, he said, now talk, he said, you want to talk to daddy now, you now carry your hand and put it behind his head. Say, daddy, hear me, and they talk to you. Some people don't bring judgment upon themselves. Do you know what God did to those servants who want to help the ark? Eh? Familiarity brings disrespect. Don't be too familiar. I beg you in the name of God. Respect them. Put them in their position. Position of honor and respect. In your words, in your action, in everything. Yes, sir.
How can a believer maintain a healthy relationship with their pastor?
I've told you. Go back to all those things I've said. Yes, sir.
All right, I think this one too should have the answer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, I think some of these things have been answered.
Some have been answered. Okay, so sort them out. Give your wife to help you. Sort that out. I see she had the one that had been answered. Yes, sir.
Okay. It was said during the announcement that anyone that wants to give to anybody in the church anything at all should do that through welfare.
Yes.
My question is, the Bible says if you want to give to somebody,
yes,
even your left hand should not know about it. So I'm confused. So he's confused.
Okay, the person is confused.
Yes.
Okay, now let's clear the confusion. You see, the days of the Bible, there are some things that you can't do the same way. But we fashion out how we can still obey the scripture. Giving is inevitable, isn't it? Eh? But the Bible says, the same Bible says, when you are giving, say, don't allow you the left hand to know. The person you are giving to, you don't know. And there are people in the church that has taken advantage of others as a result of that. Because today, Pastor Inka see that, I need clothes. He bought new clothes and give me. When I have need tomorrow, I'll go and meet Pastor Inka. I will not allow her to sleep in the house. There are people in this church that have traced people to their house to go and beg. You see, every one of us, we are looking beautiful and shining in church today. Do you know if I didn't eat yesterday night to sleep? Did you know if that sister is sleeping close to you and does not even know what she or he will eat after this service? But because the person dressed fine and come to church, showing for the glory of God, for God to provide, then you are the same that we now go and we lay the person by the road. Please, any instruction we give you as member, please try and obey. Don't look for Bible to cover anything. Please, don't do that. If you want to give anything from past experience, if you want to give anything, there are some people who have left this church because of other people. Personally, if that's that, so then they beg for this church, no gala person rest. Make I stay for my house. How many of you have had that before? Praise the Lord. So, please, don't ask anybody for anything. And if you want to give anybody anything, please, see the welfare. That's why we have a welfare committee. There are people in this church that has bought new clothes. They see members. This person is done. They say, please, mommy, don't mention my name. And when I give to the person, as a sincere pastor, I say, somebody in the church gifted you this. God knows the person. Just bless and pray for the person. And accept the gift. Simple. Praise the Lord. We say, don't borrow money. Don't borrow people money. Don't go and it has caused a lot of trouble in the church. People you didn't bring by your evangelism, by your character, you drive them away from church. And you think that God will not hold you responsible. God will hold you responsible. Because instead of populating the kingdom of God, you are depopulating the kingdom of God by your character and by your way of life. There's no selfishness. If you want to give anybody anything, go and bring it. Why are you hiding? Why didn't you want your pastor to know that you give somebody something? Why? Why? And if that person can give me the reason why, it cannot be because of that Bible. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Any other question that has not been answered?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Are there people posting on website?
Yes.
Please read if there's anyone that has not been answered.
It was stated in today's teaching that all church members must have the same spiritual alignment with the pastor.
Yes.
What if the pastor is yet to grow in truth?
Eh?
What if the pastor is yet to grow in truth?
To know?
To grow in truth.
What are you doing under a pastor that has not grown in truth? Are you all right? What are you doing? If you are correct, if you are okay spiritually, what are you doing under a pastor that has not grown in the truth? Eh? David, the man, no more than him. That's why he's your pastor. So that's not a question. Pastor, please continue.
Does Malachi 3:10
yes.
say that Christians will be cursed if they don't tithe? And if so, how does it fit with Galatians 3:13?
No, you are not reading your Bible. The Bible didn't say Christians should be cursed. Who said they should curse you? Have you ever seen, even the church, some of you have been long here, have you ever seen the pastor say and say, if you don't pay your tithe, you're under a curse? Eh? But the senior deacon should enter. You have been here for long. Have you ever had that? Now, if anywhere in any church they do that to you, come out. Because it's possible that curse will catch you. Because you are living in ignorance. And if you are not paying, nobody will curse you. It's God himself that says you are under a curse. Where is it? Bring you on verse 9, or where? Verse 9, go. He said, you are cursed with a curse. You are cursed. He didn't say that anybody should curse you. So they don't the right of any pastor to curse you. No pastor is cursed. If they curse you, say, forget. He's God. The curse is from who? He said, ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me. Is it the pastor you rob? Who did you rob? Forget. And to come out of the curse, he had told you what to... So go and do. If you are under the curse, go and do what he asked you to do. Anyone else? No one.
Yes,
ma'am. Not on the website? No one. Praise the Lord. There's another one. You people should be fast now. Time has gone.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is marriage necessary?
Is what?
Is marriage necessary?
Where Mbolatin Jassi, right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They ask question, man.
Yes, sir. I'm listening. Is marriage necessary? That's the question.
The Bible says,
yes.
He who has the gift of celibacy should stay celibate.
Yes.
So why do we emphasize on marriage?
Who emphasize on marriage?
Like it is an achievement.
Nobody do that. Not in Hakka. Nobody ever says on marriage. If you have the gift of celibacy, stay. Don't marry.
Your choice.
If you want to marry, it's your choice. And what we say is, if you want to marry, marry on time. Marry well. Don't pack your leather bag and go and stay in a man's house. It's not marriage. That means you don't have the gift of celibacy. Praise the Lord. Nobody's emphasizing marriage in Hakka. If marriage want to become a burden, there's no marriage in heaven. Even those who have entered and want to kill you and kill your spirit, we say, do what? Come out. Nobody's emphasizing marriage. Any other one, pastor, I want to drop.
In a case in which your spouse is against the belief of your church.
Yeah? In a place?
In a case.
Yes.
In a situation.
Yes.
Whereby your spouse is against the belief of your church.
Yes.
And as a wife.
Yes.
You know that your belief is right.
Yes.
Without bringing issues.
Yes.
How can you respectively settle the issue?
1 Peter 3 verse 1. Go. 1 Peter 3 verse 1. The Bible says, wife, submit. Help me look for it now. Likewise, ye wives. Maybe the wife. Now, wife asked that question. Abi. Ye wife, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word. Abi, is that not the situation? If any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives. Hallelujah. Oh. I am not saying disobey the word of God. Outright disobedient to the word of God because of your husband. Please don't do that as a wife. Please don't disobey God's word. But doctrine, you know, there are some doctrines that are not like biblical, but they are God's, they are godly that we are giving. For example, your husband said, I'm just giving an example. Your husband said, I don't want to see your head covered because I don't believe that a woman should not cover their hair. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's an example. That one, there is no, because the man has not gotten to that understanding that the covering, like Daddy explained to us, that this woman, her head is already covered. It's not the hair. The Bible says we should cover, it's the head. And the hair is giving us a covering. If the man does not have that understanding, you say you must be tying a tie or put hand or tie gele, please do so as a wife. That's bringing yourself to suggestion. But if your husband asks you as a wife, say, you know, say money no day now. You get one of your old boyfriend. I hear say the man don't blow. You still have a number or you call. No, you do nothing serious. So don't play along so that we can enjoy the money. What is that one? As a wife, don't say Bible says I should be in subjection to my husband. And you go and do that. If you think nothing will happen and something happens, you have disobeyed God. You have sinned against man. And God will punish you for it. Have I answered the question? If you need more clarity, you answer that question. You come for counseling. Yes.
Yes, there's a follow-up question. But I think
the last one.
It has this same question has handled this.
Stand up, everybody.